Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and Jay Thorne. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, Jay. I missed you.
I missed you too. I miss being here.
It's been like a month.
It has been.
It feels like forever. And listeners, he's all tan and you look fit and healthy. I look pale and wan, and I literally got out of my deathbed this morning. I had a migraine that almost killed me this weekend.
Oh, no.
So I literally look the opposite of you right now.
Well, we've been having Northern California weather for the past 5 days, and we're going to get it for another 5 days. It's like low humidity, 68, sunny. Oh. So I've been sitting outside with my laptop getting some sun.
So perfect. It's like that right now. I just ate my lunch outside and it was not too warm. It was perfect. So I have to say that in all of the intros that I welcomed people to the show from craft to wellness, I didn't look up the text once.
Really?
That was all from my little brain. How did you enjoy listening to the shows?
I didn't like it. I'm being honest. Our guests were fantastic, and it was so nice of them to step in. But I was like, "That's my Rachel. You can't have her."
I'm glad you feel that way.
I was very possessive. I was not proud of myself, but I have to be honest.
Well, and they were not you. They were wonderful. They were wonderful. Didn't I get good people?
Yes.
But they were
fantastic.
Not you.
Yeah, I mean, this is what, 179? I mean, we've been talking weekly for years now.
Years. It's like 4 years. Because I think it started shortly after I went full time.
Yeah.
I know. Yay. Okay, so tell me more about you. What's been going on?
Well, I've been really working hard on getting this free writing challenge up. And if people are listening in real time, it's already in day 3. But as we're recording this, it started today. Man, wow. I totally underestimated how much work that was going to take. So
I looked at that and I thought, no, what is he doing? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I mean, it's going to be fabulous. It already is. It's really fulfilling and I'm enjoying it, but wow, the amount of work that I did not anticipate is crazy.
And if you still want to join, could people join late at Supercharged?
Yeah, they could. I mean, it's a self-paced kind of thing, so you don't have to be there live, but there's a very limited window on when the lessons are available. They're only going to be up for about a week or so for people to write their scene. So yeah, I mean, if you're hearing it now and you're not in, you can still get in and you still would have time to do it. But yeah,
it's free, yo.
It's free. It's totally free.
I sent a lot of students over.
I appreciate that. I saw some of the clicks coming in.
Yay. You've been doing that. What else?
Yeah, that and continuing to work on the manuscript, the one I'm working on with JD, and the one that Jeff Elkins has been helping me with, which we're going to have a lot more to talk about when he's ready. Him and I are working together on a few different things, and he's kind of getting his ducks in a row. But I'm not lying. His help now is fundamentally changing the way I'm writing in such an incredibly positive way. I don't know how much, I don't expect you to, but I don't know how much you're following the experiment I'm doing with JD, but one of JD's suggestions.
I'm behind.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. But he suggested I write the whole first draft as dialogue only.
Ooh.
A dialogue's never really been my strong point. I can write it, but I never
it will
thought,
be after this.
Oh my goodness. So Jeff and I are once a week we're getting on a call. I'm writing scenes, he's going through them, and then we're talking about them. And we're talking, and it's just dialogue. But Jeff is so good at dialogue that it's just amazing. I can't believe the difference. I can't wait to share this project with the world. It's gonna be a while, but I've been working on that every week and knocking out 4 and 5 scenes. And I just feel like I'm writing character voice in a way I've never had before.
That is fascinating. I took a class in grad school, and it was one of the only classes that stuck with me, honestly, where every week we would read a book And then we would write, I think it was 4 pages of dialogue based on the tone of that book. And it was just dialogue, nothing else. So every week for 12 weeks, we did this. And my ability to write dialogue skyrocketed at that point.
Yeah.
When you restrict what you're doing. So kind of when you're doing this, you're really skeletoning the scene, right?
Yeah.
This is an expanded outline.
It is. And I did a very rough outline. I mean, like a bullet per scene. And because it's just dialogue, and that's taken the weight off of me to like worrying about the description and the narrative and like just focus on the dialogue. But I realized after working with Jeff that I had a severe case of mono mouth. Every one of my characters sounds the same. And Jeff is the dialogue doctor. So he's come in and he's curing me of mono mouth.
That's amazing. My characters always have monomouth until like the second or third revision. That's when I start to put it in. But yeah, otherwise they all talk like Rachel.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
yay, Jeff.
It's the biggest jump in learning I've had since like StoryGrid a few years ago.
Damn. Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. That all sounds really good.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, you were missed around here. Nothing happened around here except I finished that big draft. So that's
good. You made your revision deadline in the nick of time, I heard.
Like with 10 minutes to spare, basically, until New York closed. Yeah, it was ugly. And then I think that's why I crashed into the migraine. Mm-hmm. You know me, I just go freaking hard. And I went hard on sugar this time. I just I went sugar crazy. And it was funny, the day after my deadline was done, I didn't eat sugar, or the next day. I ate a little bit, but like a reasonable person. But I think that's probably why I crashed into the migraine, because I just like cut my body off of all the sugar.
Wow. So what's next on that? Like what's the next step in the process?
She will get me back line edits next week. So I don't really have too much time off. I have like a week and a half off. And in that time I'm doing like a lot of catch up and, you know, cleaning up email and doing all the things that I haven't been doing while I've been on the deadline. But you know, that's good. And then that'll be a smaller revision. And I'm actually working on, I pulled the book called Replenish out that I wrote as a Patreon thing when I was trying to fix myself. Let me tell you this really quick, because I think it's really exciting. I was looking at it. So basically I took this year and I tried to make myself feel better because I was just burned out. And it happened. It just so happened that in the third month, I learned that I was an alcoholic. So that really fixed everything. Me fixing that, but then I kept doing this challenge. So all of the essays felt a little bit weird because I was writing about the water month, but I wasn't writing about this not drinking because it wasn't part of the book. And I've just been staring at this book going like, how do I make this real? Because everything in it is true, but it didn't have the truth of what was really underneath it. And then it just struck me, oh, you could revise it. You could revise each essay. And as the queen of revision, that had not occurred to me. So my working title right now is Replenish, How Fixing Creative Burnout Accidentally Saved My Life.
Ooh, I like it.
Good, right?
Yeah.
And when I looked at it that way, like all of story structure is there already. Everything just kind of fell into place. It's all there. So that's what I'm working on.
Awesome.
Right now. I know.
That's
super
great.
Cool.
Yeah.
And in terms of business, we have a couple of new patrons who I very carefully put over here. Here they are. Sasha Black.
Oh, Sasha.
Patron. Yes. And what is her and Danny's podcast called again? Rebel Authors? No,
Sasha's
that's hers.
A Rebel Author. Level Up.
That's it. Thank you. Level Up. Podcast. Fantastic. And then Maddie Dalrymple is a new patron.
Thanks, Maddie.
Too. And you know, Maddie,
yes.
I actually was on her podcast. I one clicked her book on writing short stories.
Short Tack. I love it. Yeah, I got
the Short Tack.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I grabbed it and I'm like, oh, there's Jay's blurb on it. Like it's all in the family.
I forgot about that.
It's really good. I really like it. I've never really thought about using short stories for anything. And I'm starting to think about it a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah, it's very genre dependent, but I think it can be lucrative depending on how you approach it.
Totally. So yeah, that's my business update. How should we do comments?
Yeah, I'm sure listeners understand that. Like I took a break from comments too, so I wasn't in there as well. But Yeah, do you want to, I mean, do you want to touch upon a few from last week?
Yeah, let me do that. Since I was just in there. So last week was episode number 179, How Can We Apply Binge Watching to Our Writing? That was Priscilla Oliveris's question, and it was so fun to talk to her. Let's see. Christopher was saying that the problem with TV and film for us writers is they're designed for short attention spans, and when they're based on a novel, a lot of the story is left out. I totally agree, but also I'm with Jeff on this, that when you're dealing with well-crafted TV or movies, there can be things to analyze and take away, and there's really smart storytelling out there. And he points out that's why you and Zach break down the movie or the TV show every month on your Patreon, because there is so much to be able to take away from TV and learn from. Especially nowadays, I think.
Yeah, we had this conversation in my mastermind group this weekend, and I
did you?
It was almost the same conversation. I made the distinction between binge reading and binge watching. When you binge read, you're paying attention to the writing. When you binge watch, you're paying attention to the storytelling. So they're not mutually exclusive, and one's not better than the other. But I think it's not fair to just write off television or movie because you're a writer.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was trying to say. Anne Marie had a good comment that being aware of how stories should be plotted and or works allows her to understand why she didn't like something, which is, I think, that's when you know that you're understanding craft, is when you walk away from a story or a book and you go, ugh, I didn't like it. And then you can figure out why you didn't like it, because it was missing something. They did something in the wrong order. Monique says she's more of a binge reader than a binge watcher. What she really wants to figure it out is how she can sit down and write the same way that we can sit down and binge. That would be the golden ticket for productivity.
Yes,
I would really like to know what that is like. Edwin does not binge watch or binge read. One of his biggest pleasures is in coming to the next book in a series is saying hello to old friends after a time apart. That's the way I feel, Edwin. I don't binge read, even though if I read a book that I love, 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 I will probably read the next one about a year later.
Yeah.
Because I like that space apart, and I like that, the anticipation, you know. Do you do that, Jay?
You know what's weird is I've been, over the past couple of years, I've been writing almost exclusively fiction and series, and I rarely read fiction series. I almost always read standalones.
And what we're saying, like, this is more uncommon. People love series, and they love to binge their way through series. Love, love, love it.
It feels overwhelming for me sometimes to start a series. Like, it just feels like too much.
Me too. Also, I tend to get annoyed by writers' verbal tics. Do you ever get this?
Yeah.
Like, they use the word glamour on every page, and I can handle that for a book, but I can't handle it for three books in a row. It'll get too much.
Yeah.
And Carrie also left a great comment. Great comments from when Jay was gone. People were still commenting, and we were missing you, and now you're back. Thank God, don't ever go away again.
Okay.
Yay, thanks. That was fun.
That was fun. Yeah. Nice job to you and to all of our guests for stepping in there and taking care of that for me.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Yeah.
I have a question for you today.
Yay.
And I'm going to have a question for you next week too, because it's
great.
Our health theme, the end of the month, and I'll be up for that. But
what is our health theme for next month?
For next month, I believe it's relationships. Okay. I'll double check, but I think that's what it is. But this week, I have a question, and I think you're going to like this.
Can't wait.
All right. In June of 2020, right now, what is your morning routine?
Ah, I love it.
Before listeners are like, wait a minute, they already answered that one. This is
so
one of those,
different.
Oh my gosh. I mean, the world is so different. Yeah. We're in different places. This is one of those juicy questions we can come back to periodically.
And I love it. I love it. I could not love anything more than this. Yeah. So my morning routine looks a lot different now. I can't remember if we've talked about on the show my Aura ring that I wear.
No.
It's spelled Oura. It's ridiculously expensive, like $300 or $400. And it is It's supposedly like a fitness tracker, but I put that in quotes because what it really does is it tracks sleep. It's actually the ring that the guy who wrote the book Why We Sleep wears. It's the best one on the market. It's not perfect, but it captures like your heart rhythms and the differences between your heart rhythms and your temperature. I'm actually in a study with UCSF right now for coronavirus because I wear this like every day. I say if I have any symptoms kind of thing, and they're tracking, you know, looking at fever on people's stuff. So like it's really interesting, but it got me thinking about sleep and about how terrible I am at it. And I realized that you'll be interested in this. I was grasping for sleep. So in order to get approximately 7.5 or 8 hours of sleep, I was needing to spend 10 or 11 hours in bed.
Yeah.
With my eyes closed, trying to sleep. And my sleep doctor has made me do this bed restriction program where you just go to bed and sleep and then you get up pretty quickly afterwards. And I'm getting so much better at sleeping. But what that means is that right now I'm getting up at 7:30 every morning. It's the same time every day on the weekends. So it's not my really early morning. It allows me to stay up a little bit with Lala at night. And so 7:30, I get up, I drink a big glass of water. It's the first thing I do. Do all the cat things, you know, let them in and out, feed them. But then I go to my office and I meditate for 20 minutes. And then I do a little tarot card draw of mirror and medicine.
Oh, that's new. That's relatively new.
I like it. And then I journal about it just a little bit. And I like mirror and medicine for tarot because it's completely subjective to... So let's see, today for mirror, I got 6 of cups, which is like kind of about nostalgia and family. So I feel, you know, where do I feel nostalgic in myself? And for medicine, I don't know how to interpret this. I got the 5 of swords, which is kind of like the fighting card. So maybe I'm going to need to fight with somebody later. It's not going to be you.
Good.
It's probably going to be Lala. So I do that. And then I use that as kind of a jumping off point for journaling. And then by then it's about 8 or 8:15. And then I do my writing in 45 minute bursts until generally I'd go until noon, and then everything
first drafting stuff,
first drafting or revision.
Or revision. Okay.
Yeah. If I'm on revision deadline, this all went out the window. Like all of that stuff was the same, except for the last 2 weeks when I was revising, I wouldn't stop. I would do 45 minute bursts until about 6 in the afternoon or 6 in the evening. And that's when I get too tired to revise anymore. Yeah. First drafting, I can only do for like 2 or 3 hours, but revising I can do all day and I love it. But then on a normal day like this week, right about noon, like on Mondays, I talk to you, but on the other days, I switch into management, email, podcast, teaching, all of that stuff. But yeah, the mornings are still sacrosanct for writing. I'd really like to get some kind of movement in there. I was doing yoga in there.
You were swimming for a while too, weren't you?
I love swimming. I miss swimming so much. And that is something I hope comes back soon. But I swim at the college campus and the campus is closed.
Yeah.
So I need to find a place. Because for me, being in water is my ideal environment, you know? This is a random, you know how J.K. Rowling like flamed herself to the ground this week?
I don't, but I've just barely glanced and heard something about that, but
super transphobic, anything. Okay. But now that we cannot arrange ourselves into Gryffindor houses, somebody was saying we need to arrange ourselves into the elements. So what is your element? Fire, earth, water, or air? What do you think? Top of your head.
Top of my head, either earth or fire, I feel like.
Yeah. I would have gone fire for you just on a guess.
Yeah. But. I think it's the ambition and drive that's more fire. That's how I would think of my, you're water, I'm assuming, right?
100% water. Yeah. 100%. So yes, that's what I do. And it's a really good morning routine. And the really nice thing is that I am rested for it now. Like I always got up at 5 and 5:30 and, you know, to do stuff, but I didn't really realize how much time it was taking me to sleep. And now that I'm getting that down, and when I go to bed, I sleep. And when I wake up, I get up. It's just giving me more time for all the other things around and more energy.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Hey, quick question about that ring. Yeah. So how do you get the readings off it? Is it like a Bluetooth or you plug
it in? It's a Bluetooth. Yeah, it's a Bluetooth and it goes straight to your phone. What's really fascinating is it gives you this, you know, it gives you all these scores and whatever score you push, you can look at. But what I'm really interested in is the efficiency of sleep. And for to be sleep efficient, you want to have a reading of 85% or more, which means you're asleep for 85 or more percent of the time that you're in bed. And you could see when I started, when I got it in February, like it's horrible. You can track the chart of like me not sleeping. And then suddenly I'm sleeping in bed. You can see it over the months as I'm actually getting better at sleeping. I'm getting more deep sleep than I've ever gotten before. And that is a process of cutting out coffee again, because coffee apparently for me gets rid of deep sleep completely. And the way you can really drill down and look at this stuff. If you want any screenshots from this, I'll send them to you.
That's super cool. I'm just
really like it.
Yeah.
And you can also add activities to it, but I
does it
never
count
think
steps
of it.
Like a Fitbit?
Mm-hmm. It does. And it's really, I think it's kind of vaguely attractive, and
it's not a big black band on your,
I hate, well, I'm wearing a plastic band for my hair, but that's because I'm a girl. I think you should look into one. I very much like it.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. What about you? What is your morning routine? You're probably still getting up at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, I am. Like, there's some things that haven't changed, but some have dramatically. So I'll talk about it. I wake up usually sometime between 3:30 and 4:30.
Holy shit.
Yeah, usually closer to 4, but I have a rule with myself. If I get up before 4, I'm not allowed to do anything. So I like punish myself. I'm like, okay, you're up at 3:30. You just have to lay here. You're not allowed to do anything. You're not allowed to think.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I have to. And at the other end, which is never the problem, is I'm not allowed to stay in bed past 5, but that's never an issue for me. So I've been, usually like 4:30 is probably my average. So I get up. I have.
Do you never use an alarm clock?
Never.
Do you have it set like, oh shit, for 5?
Nope.
Oh shit alarm? No. Nope. Okay. Wow.
And that's 7 days a week. I don't like, I keep chastising Joy and keep telling her like, cause when, like on the weekend, she'll get up for it like 6 to go to work during the weekend. And the weekend she sleeps till like 11. I'm like, you're giving yourself jet lag. You're taking a trip to California every weekend. Do you know that?
That is why I stopped doing it. Yeah. It has been the biggest thing to change physically for me. I think it's been amazing. Cause that's the way I always did it.
And she's like, well, I need to sleep. I'm like, then just go to bed earlier. I'm not telling you to get less sleep. I'm just saying shift it so that your body is getting up at about the same, whatever.
Yeah.
It's her life.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know.
My wife would get up at noon every day if she could. So
yeah. So, so I get up, I have a glass of water. The first thing I do is I meditate for 30 minutes. Still unguided, just silent meditation. I have a little timer that gives me a few bell chimes at the 10 minute mark for each set of 10 minutes.
I did forget to say that I am the app I'm using right now. I mostly use the unguided, but it keeps track of when you meditate, and it's called 10% Happier.
Oh yeah.
I really
that's,
like
that. Dan Smith?
Dan Harris, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And the people he has on there, if you do want guided stuff, especially for sleep, the sleep meditations are worth the price of the thing alone.
Nice.
So anyway, back to you.
Yeah. So I do my meditation. After I get up from my meditation, I do my stretches and my Tabata activity. So to kind of get my blood moving and my heart rate up.
I forgot what Tabata means.
It's the high intensity training.
Ugh.
So it's like you do something for like 20 seconds, rest for 10 seconds, like push-ups and then rest, then sit-ups, then rest. And then I do 8 minutes of that.
And then
on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, those are my run days. So Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday are walk days, and Sunday is rest. But on the days that I run, like today, after I do my warm-ups, I'm up to, you'll be proud of me, I'm up to 45 minutes now.
Holy cow.
4.3 miles. And
that's amazing.
I started out, I couldn't run a minute. I could not run for a minute without stopping.
How do you feel physically? How are your knees?
Awesome. Once I healed and got and like started doing it properly, they even feel better. I had some clicking and stuff in my knees before, and now that's gone after running. So I feel like, you know, maybe it jarred some things loose, or I don't know.
Wow. And when you say you started to run properly, how did you change that?
I had some help from Sully, one of my friends. He gave me some pointers.
Okay. I was gonna hire somebody to help.
Yeah,
me.
I looked up
online.
I figure
there's
there's certain form, like your fists are supposed to brush against your hips. They're not supposed to be up high. So like that's just a simple form factor thing. There's things like that I paid attention to. So I'll go on that run, which is great. Cause when I come home and I'm done, I feel like $1 million. And the other thing that's great about that is when I get out on the run, I'm timing it. And this is summer. This is going to change in the winter, but I'm timing it so that I'm running as the sun's coming up. So I'm getting that direct sunlight on my face, which is why I think I fall asleep in about 22 seconds. Because I'm getting sunlight on my face at 5:30, 6 a.m. And my circadian rhythm.
They say that's optimal.
It's perfect, because then by 9 p.m. I'm like, done. I could turn me out like a light.
Wow.
Yeah. So I come back from the run. And then what I do is I get on my computer for just 20 minutes and I put out fires. And this has changed for me. So there have been times where I don't put out fires. I don't look at email. I just go right into creative work. Now I'm in a phase where I'm like, I want to clear the decks. Like I want to make sure there's nothing burning so that when I sit down and do the creative work, I can be completely in it and not have to worry about what's happening. Mm-hmm. So I'll give myself 20 minutes to put out fires. Then I'll go and I'll eat my breakfast. And then when I come back, it's about between 8:30 and 9. And I go from 8:30 to 9 until 1 or 1 to 1:30, which is deep work. And so that can be first drafting, revising, anything that involves real intense thought. And it's only one thing. So I only do that, whatever happens to be that day, that's the only thing I do that day until
You don't try to double tap it. You don't try to bring in
It's just one. So if I'm writing scenes for the manuscript, that's all I do, or write and revise the scenes on that project. And then usually by 1:30 or so, I'll check my email again to make sure everything's okay before I go for my afternoon meal. But that's kind of my morning.
Okay. So a couple things I want to ask about there. Putting out the fires, that is new for you. And I've kind of gone the opposite way. I've set Boomerang up on my email so that nothing comes in before 11 a.m. And I either way works for me, but I can't just have email open.
Right. I don't keep it open.
Just can't. Also, wait, I want to go back to the running thing, because this is so exciting for me. How did you build up time? Were you using an app Couch to 5K, or did you just run when you felt comfortable and stopped when you got out of breath?
I started running like an idiot, and that's what got me hurt in the first place. So I found, I think it's Women's Running Magazine. I have to see if I can find it, but they have a couch to marathon program.
Oh, cool.
And they break it down into four segments. So it's couch to 5K, 5K to 10K, 10K to half marathon to full marathon. And I just roughly followed, it's a real simple PDF chart that they have. And the basic idea is once you hit five, there's some things you have to do to get to 5K. Once you hit 5K, up at least for me until the next stage, it's about adding 5 minutes a time a week. So I'll run for this week, today and Wednesday, I'll run for 40 minutes. Friday, I'll run for 45. And then next Monday, I'll start at 45 and go 45, 45, 50. Just adding, just adding the 5 minutes at this stage doesn't feel, terribly difficult, but it's slowly chipping away at it. And I'm in no hurry. So if I start to feel like it's too much, I'll just pull it back a little bit, or I won't bump it up for 1 week. But I feel like running for some miles now, adding an additional 5 minutes doesn't seem to be, a big deal.
I get this stupid grin on my face because I just loved running. I loved it. Yeah. So I always kind of want to bring it back. Maybe I'll try again. I do have a good pair of shoes.
Well, I
really don't have any miles.
Yeah. I mean, I always hated it. And that's what's funny. And what's crazy to me is when I think I may have mentioned this before, but I played a year or two of soccer in high school. And one of the things we had to do for conditioning was we had to run 5 miles. So when I was 16, 17 years old, I was running about 5 miles a day, and here I am at 49 and I'm getting pretty close to that. And I'm going to be in better shape now than I was when I was a teenager.
That is so, so, so cool. Yeah. That is what I am missing from my morning is that physical thing. A lot of times I'll do yoga at lunch, but I'm really missing
Here's where it comes back. So my family makes fun of me because at like 8:15, 8:30, I grab my Kindle and I go upstairs. I'm like, oh, Dad's going to bed. Kids are outside playing, but Dad's going to bed. And I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not going to bed. Like, I'm going to read. I try and read for about at least 30 minutes before I go to sleep. But because of the time I'm getting up, and I think because I'm getting sun on my face at the time that I am, no joke, I'll start to get drowsy. My head will start to nod. I put my Kindle down. I roll over and I'm out. I'm like out cold.
That is the biggest blessing. You know that, right? Know. That is a gift from God.
Yeah.
That yeah. It, have you always had that where you go right to sleep, or is this just a product?
I usually fall asleep fairly easily, but I've had to use apps before. I've used alcohol before for that. I've used a number of other crutches. There have been stretches of my life where I've been so anxious that my brain's going a mile a minute and I can't fall asleep. And I'm like, now the past year, even before I was running, even when I was like just exercising at the gym, it's almost instantaneous. And I might pop up once that I can remember in the middle of the night. Otherwise, like, I'm straight through till 4:30.
I don't think you need the Aura ring, honestly. Like, that'll just tell you you're sleeping well.
Yeah.
Or it'll introduce you to like worries that you have. Like, I was awake at 2 a.m. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
What was I doing? I was out back digging in the backyard at 2 a.m. I didn't realize it.
I'm exhausted.
Why am I muddy?
Oh my gosh. I love this question. And you can ask it again in 6 months and we'll have different answers, I bet.
Yeah. That's what's fun, right? It's like, it always changes. You're adding things, removing things, changing stuff. It's just this constant improvement. And that's what's so fun about learning for me is like, I never lock it in. Like, I've never locked in anything. I always want to keep tweaking and trying stuff.
The day that I do lock it in, I think that's when I'll get worried.
Yeah.
When I do tell you I have the best system, that's when you say, no, Rachel, just throw it all out.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. Do something else.
Yep.
Yes. All right. So what will we ask our listeners? What is your,
I think, what's your morning routine?
Morning routine.
Yeah. This point in time.
And if you've got a day job and you do something different on your weekend when you're writing, let us know about that.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thank you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to have you back.
Great to be back. Bye.
Bye.